in the pew, you can turn to your Bible to page roughly 1651, John chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 42. It's a long read, but it is a good read. And I want you to get the context of this story, of everything that's going on. There are so many pieces to this story. I will not preach on all of them because there's way too much going on. But I want you to understand what's all taking place in this conversation, where it takes place, what happens, who's all involved, where's it at. So you need to know all these things to really tie in well this morning. So I'm just going to read to you and follow along in your Bible. So as Al alluded to, it's the Samaritan woman. We do not know her name. The Bible does not speak of that. We just know that she's a woman from Samaria, and so that's where the context of her life comes from. And so as we continue in on our message of the Samaritan woman, the water of life is what it's entitled this morning, as we learn about 12 extraordinary women in the Bible. And so let's read the word of the Lord together. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So that would be about noon, for you that want to know what time that would be. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." I'm going to stop there just for a moment. I want you to notice one thing. This is the first time in Jesus' ministry here on earth that he actually pronounces that "I am the Messiah" to a Samaritan woman. This is the first time he proclaims that to her. His disciples will hear that, and so on. So that's pretty important. We'll touch on that in our message this morning. Just then the disciples returned, and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not see 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we hear of a great story in Scripture this morning of how you've proclaimed who you are, Lord, and how you've taken this woman in. So, Lord, may you open those words up to us and just give them life this morning. And, Lord, as I go through this message, may it resonate with those that have gathered here. May they be taught something new. May they be challenged in this message from you. May they leave here being inspired, knowing what they have to do in your name. And, Lord, I pray you fill me with that Spirit. And, Lord, as these words leave my mouth, may they be your words. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you enjoy crazy news headlines? Anybody out there enjoy those crazy news headlines that you might hear once in a while? Maybe the way they're worded or the things they talk about or the things that they say. I have a few that I'm going to share with you this morning. Some crazy news headlines. There was an advertisement once in a flyer that said this: "Get 50% or half off, whichever is less." You got to think about that just a little bit now, what I just told you there. Here's another one. Statistics show that teen pregnancy drops off significantly after age 25. Yeah, I would agree, right? "A one-armed man applauds kindness of strangers." Wouldn't we like to see that? "Federal agents raid a gun shop and they find weapons." Yeah, that's crazy, right? We would think that. Here's another one for you. This was wrote in the crime report in a local newspaper. Not in ours, but I found this. "Dog attack. Police respond to a report of two dogs running loose and attacking ducks at about 11:20 a.m. Sunday. The officer cited a resident for the loose dogs. The duck refused the medical treatment and left the area." You just can't make this stuff up, can you? People do silly, sometimes crazy things, and no made-up story can even rival the real thing that we hear or we see today in life. This is exactly what happens as Jesus travels into Sychar, into the country of Samaria, and he makes a midday stop at the local well. It is a crazy story. And if you really understand, and you will as you go through this message, that this is just something crazy beyond belief, what Jesus does here, talking to this woman in this land, in the country of Samaria. And so it raises a question for those that are involved there. The Samaritan woman is caught off guard. The disciples are in so much shock, they don't know what to respond with as they see Jesus interacting with this lady. And so here's the question that they probably were thinking: Jesus, are you crazy or something? Why on earth are you talking to a Samaritan woman? Was their thought. Now, you might ask yourself, why were the disciples and others so surprised by Jesus' conversation with that woman? What's the big deal about that? We don't think that's a bad deal in our culture today, to be able to talk with another woman and so on. If you were to meet somebody in the mall or whatever, not a big deal. But let's unpack what was going on back then in Jesus' day. In Jesus' time, men did not talk to women, especially by themselves, and especially not women with whom they were unacquainted with. They were not to associate with women that they didn't know. On top of that, this woman, it seems, was particularly bad. And you may ask, well, what was bad about her? Well, we know that she had a lot of marital strife. Not one husband, not three husbands, but living with number six. Not even married yet. We know that she's not a very good person, right? At least the disciples will think, well, this is not the woman that Jesus should be hanging out with. She's a sinner. Her life's a mess. So hold on to that thought this morning. Then to add insult to injury, Jesus was a Jew, and the woman was what? A Samaritan. And so, and I'll explain this in a little bit here, but the Jews were never to associate with Samaritan people. That did not mix. And so let me go into that just a little bit deeper to you this morning. The Samaritans were a mixed race people. Now, the country of Israel was divided into two. You had the southern half and the northern half and so on. And so the Samaritans lived in the northern half, what would be modern-day Israel today, around the Sea of Galilee and so on. The Jordan River led to the Dead Sea, and you got the Mediterranean Sea and so on. You can, I believe on the back of your outline, you might have a map there you can look at. You can follow along a little bit what's going on in the land and so on. So the Samaritans lived in the northern kingdom. They were a mixed race people, meaning that the Jews intermarried with the Assyrians, who were pagans. And in the land of Samaria, they brought in false religions and so on, and they mixed it with Jewish religion in the way that they worshipped. Of course, there were false gods, and they'd worship the true God and so on, and it was a chaotic mess. The Jews seen this, they recognized this, and they knew that this was bad news. And so what they decided to do is that we will have no contact with them. They are dirty people. We need to stay away from their evilness. And that's how they lived. The Samaritan people were terrible people. And Jews were not to associate with Samaritan people. So now you get the drift of why Jesus, it is crazy, him being a Jew, is talking with a Samaritan woman in this land. The relationship between the Jews and Samaritans was so bad, by the time Jesus came along, the Jewish people wouldn't even walk through the land of Samaria. And if you got your map with you, you'll see a dotted line that goes around the country of Samaria as they travel from Jerusalem to Galilee. That's the trip that Jesus and the disciples were on. And they would cross the Jordan River into the land of Decapolis. And if you were a Sunday night Bible study, you would understand that Decapolis is an evil place. It's a pagan place. And Jews did not like to go there. But they would cross over into the Decapolis to enter into the land of Galilee just to go around Samaria. That's how they treated these people. I don't have a good term for you today of what it'd be like. Maybe you'd have to enter into the presence. It'd be like you, Christian, maybe entering into the presence of ISIS to get around some people you didn't like in your life. You'd never think of that. But that's how strong the hate maybe was, or the discord that was there between the Jews and the Samaritans in their lives. So keep that in mind here as we go through this message this morning. So when Jesus tracks through the Samaria and he pauses to stop and have a casual conversation with this very bad Samaritan woman, he's tackling some of the greatest prejudice of his day. Things that are going wrong in the kingdom of God. Things that Jews have established as, we think this is the right way church should be, or this is the right way we should worship. This is who we should talk to. This is who we shouldn't talk to. And he mixes things all up. He begins to teach him something new. So you think about that. He confronts the tragedy of racial prejudice by talking to the Samaritan woman. And at the same time, he also takes on the role of gender issues that are going on in those times as well. Women were not well respected. Women were not treated well in those times. But Jesus confronts this woman and does something totally different. He talks with her. He shares with her. He brings her in. He's concerned for her. And so on in his life. As I mentioned, it's not considered proper for a man to publicly speak to a woman. Yet he engaged her in a philosophical conversation, yet by no means. Still, with Jesus, there is grace. You need to see that this morning. Living with maybe husband number 6, Jesus walks up to her with a soft, loving, gentle heart. It says, "Give me a drink, please." And by all terms, the culture would have said, "Jesus, you shouldn't even be here. You shouldn't say nothing to this woman." And look what Jesus does. He's not judgmental. He doesn't condemn her. And if you really think about it, Jesus breaks all the rules, all of society's expectations, as he talks with this woman. And that's the message that I want you to take home this morning. Jesus' conversation with the woman from Samaria illustrates a radical inclusivity. Meaning that as a Christian, it's your job to love everyone, no matter what the situation is, with those you come into contact with. Now, there's a whole list of things that we can think of that separate us from other people that live in this world, the way we believe, the way we act, the things we do, and so on. Radical inclusivity. Meaning that Jesus accepted everyone, no matter what their sin was or how they were living their life. And that's our lesson that we need to look at this morning. Jesus cared about the person that the culture rejected. Now, I'm not condoning her sin or whatever. I'm not lifting that up as that it's okay to do that. But he loved her for who she was. And that's my message to you this morning. And we should be the same way in our lives. So let me challenge you a little bit this morning. You gather here because you're believers in Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the way to heaven through to eternal life. And so I assume that most of you here, and maybe not everybody, has drank from the well of living water. You know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in your life. So then if that's you this morning, then you should be motivated to break the ice in relationships where there's prejudice, hurt, and estrangement in the world that you live in. That's the point I'm trying to make here this morning, because that's the way that Jesus lived, and your life is to mirror Jesus. You've drank that living water that the Bible talks about. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you have work to do. It's a challenge to you this morning. More or less, you need to go to places where we can encounter people who are hurting. Maybe they're hurting because of something you've done or you've said in your life. And you need to have some conversations. It's your job to build relationships with others. Whether that's around the well in Samaria, the water cooler in the office where you work, or the coffee shop downtown, or around your kitchen table. Your job. And so, we must go to places where Christ would go and speak with the people Christ would speak to. And that means there are no limits. A lot of times we sit there and we classify, well, I'll talk to this person or that person. I'm not going to that person because of this or that, or this is what happened in the past, or this is what said to me, la-da-da-da. You see, with Jesus, there are no limits. You can't clarify things in a certain way to fit your style or how you feel. As soon as you do that, you're no longer following Jesus in those parameters of going into Samaria like Jesus did. No limits. That's tough. That's not easy. Those are hard things to do. And I'm right there with you. Sometimes there are things that I don't want to do that God calls me to, and to have those tough conversations sometimes can be very, very hard on me. I get that. But Jesus says there are no limits if you're going to follow me. This is what it looks like, the life that you live. Look at the woman at the well. Her encounter with Jesus transformed her and her relationship with her neighbors. That's why I read the whole story this morning. What did she do when she figured out, you know, you must be a prophet because you know a whole lot about my life that a lot of other people don't know? What is her response? The disciples come back. She drew water out of the well. I'm assuming she gave a drink to Jesus. And Jesus is standing there just spitting out stuff that he knew about her life. What is her response to that? Notice what she does with the water jug that she brought. What did she do with it? Anybody catch that? She dropped it and left. Now, why would you think she'd drop it and leave? Where was she in a hurry to go? Back to her people, back to her country, her neighbors who lived in the town close by. And why do you think she was there at noon? Because she is more than likely an outcast. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. Because most people are at work at noon. You come to the well either in the early morning or maybe in the evening to gather your water for the day. She's there at noon when nobody else is there. Do you see what an encounter of Jesus Christ will do with somebody that is in a sinful situation? It fills him with the Spirit. She drops the jug. She runs back to the people and says, you got to come meet this guy. I think he's the Christ. To her neighbors that she didn't really get along very well with. Wow. That's what living water does to someone's life. How many of you are ready to run, being filled with that living water, into those places where they need to hear the good news of Christ? Whether it's your family that's estranged, maybe it's your neighborhood, maybe it's people at work, whatever it is, how many of you are willing to drop the water jug and run and tell people about Jesus Christ? That's the story we're looking at today. It's radical. It's how Jesus lived. It wasn't easy. It was hard some days. But get this. She didn't say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to run back to my people, but could you tell me how I should disciple them? Is there a book or something you could give me that I could read that will help me talk to these people, that I could at least tell them who you are and how I should start the conversation and so on and so on? She didn't care. She dropped the water jug and she just ran to the city and started speaking about Jesus. Gives us a little picture of what discipleship should look like. How we share Jesus in our lives. There is a spring of living water in this woman. It's an amazing spring of living water. A woman that has been beaten up by society, a woman that has been cast out, a woman that is filled with sin, with many divorces that the culture did not like or accept. She's now part of the kingdom of heaven. And if you're a believer in Christ, get this. One day you get to know her name because you will meet her in heaven someday. Won't that be something? So that's you that the Bible is talking about. And you know her by first name. The world needs that kind of radical encounter and transformation today. The world needs people that are willing to go out in the world and share the love of Jesus Christ no matter where you're at. And I've said this to you often, wherever God has planted you, that's where he expects you to grow and disciple and share his word with those around you. Because people everywhere, they need grace. They need forgiveness, and they need acceptance in the world that we live in today. People need to experience the living water of Jesus Christ. Look at the world we live in today. Most people want to avoid the pain of being a nobody. When I speak of nobody, I think of those that are outcasts, those that are living on the fringes of our society, whether in our towns or our communities or wherever they might be in life. They want to be recognized as somebody in their lives. And so this passage is good news for those people today. If you've ever felt that way, that you've been on the fringes, that you haven't been accepted, that you're on the outside, because Jesus does not turn away from those situations. He looks face on into them, just as the Samaritan woman did in her life. That's the love I'm talking about of Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're feeling like I'm just a nobody today, that my life doesn't mean anything today, that I have no value in my life today. Jesus does not turn away from you. He never will. No matter what your situation is in life. And then Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah to her. That's a huge statement. The first time we see that in Scripture. You know, we sit here this morning because Jesus has revealed himself to us. That's why we gather here. And if you're sitting here this morning, well, the only reason I'm here is because my mom and dad told me I should go to church. Then you need to reevaluate that question and think about that in your life. Why do you come to church? Because you believe in the living water and that Jesus changes people's lives. Just like Jesus who stopped at the well that day to talk with the Samaritan woman. Just like that woman who went unhindered back into the community to share the good news, who was rejected by her own people. We have to break the rules of our culture to share the living waters of Christ with others. What might that look like in the world you live in? Because Jesus breaks all the rules with this Samaritan woman. Think about your context that you live and work in today. What might that look like as you break the rules to share the love of Jesus Christ? It might have to look a little different than you're used to. Because Jesus broke all those rules. Imagine yourself in Jesus' role. That's your job today. To go out there and be on the front line. So the question I have for you this morning would be this. Are the streams of living water flowing through us? Through you and I? And if they are we going to new places and meeting new people? And are we doing it for the right reasons? When's the last time you've been somewhere you've never been before, or you've met new people in your life, and you have opportunity to share things about Jesus? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't like new people. New people kind of scare me because I'm not sure about what they're like or who they are. That's the tough part. You need to get over that. Jesus will help you get through that. Jesus will give you the words to speak when you need them. You know, John 7, verse 38, I have that It's not on the screen, but I have it up here this morning. I'm going to read that to you. Listen to what it says. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Pretty much what it says, that if you're a follower of me, you're going to get out there and tell the world about who I am. So how are we doing? Some of us have a little work to do. Some of us more than others. That's okay. I mean, you get a start today, right? That's the challenge before you. Start where you're at. We all have room to improve in this area in our lives. But you also have to go to places that are risky. Think about the risky places that you might have to go to. I have a little story for you this morning. Some of you might know Rachel. Dory, help me. What's Rachel's last name? Yep. Floyd. You know Armand? He's the big black guy that comes once in a while. He would be Rich Koistra's daughter and son-in-law. One of the stories that I want to share with you this morning is those risky places to go to. Well, Rachel, in Des Moines, shows up with cookies at the strip joint on Friday and Saturday nights to pray with strippers, to pull them out of that kind of a lifestyle. And they call with a couple of women, and they go there, and they meet. They go into the strip club with a plate of cookies, and they ask the owner, is it okay if we're here tonight, and we pray with these girls that are usually hurting. They're broken. They don't know any way to get out of this lifestyle. That is risky. You see what Jesus is calling you to? And you're worried about, well, I might have to have a conversation with my next door neighbor. That might be risky for you. Bake some cookies. Go see the neighbor. You see, Jesus was risky when he went to the Samaritan woman's place, to the well. You're called to go into those risky spots. Now, that's just one idea that I give you this morning that Rachel's doing in her life in ministry to reach the broken people for Jesus Christ. Think about your context. Think about your life. What areas are risky for you? And then step out there a little bit. I'd love to hear some stories from you about how you get risky in your life. And I promise I won't share them with the congregation, but I'd love to hear those stories. You won't believe what I did this past week. And you might get comments like this. Hey, Rob, do you know where I seen so-and-so this past week? I don't know. Was it risky? You're not going to believe where I seen so-and-so. We better talk to the elders. Was it risky? See, we're so used to being in our little comfort zone of Inwood or Dune or Canton, or we don't get out a whole lot. We live amongst believers. We live amongst our families who most of them are believers. You see, we don't go to those risky spots where God might call you to. Because your job is to be the oasis of life. You carry the living water. That's the job that God gave you. You can't say no to that. That's not an option, is what Jesus says. Some of you think it's an option in your life. No, that's not an option. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to do these things. This is what it looks like. And it's not easy. And here's a question I'd like to leave for you. Would you like a drink of living water? How many of you would like that today? Because you have to continually drink that living water. But then why don't you go to somebody else? Bring something that will start a conversation. Ask them if they'd like a drink of water. And let it go from there. And let God do his work. You want to be inspired? You want to be just set on fire by the Holy Spirit, go out there on that ledge a little bit and live out there. And I guarantee you'll be blessed. You'll be motivated by the kingdom of God. And all of God's people said,